We beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tonight's epistle reading has a lot of nerve, first telling us about a mysterious, lawless one who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God, already at work among us, but who is being resisted by the katekon, the restrainer. Now there's a superhero name for you. And then the letter casually adds that we shouldn't be shaken in mind or alarmed by that. And our anxiety will only be heightened if we read the verses that the lectionary squeamishly conceals from us. And you know what is restraining him, so that he may be revealed when his time comes, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, but only until the one who restrains it is removed, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will destroy with the breath of his mouth, annihilating him by the manifestation of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is apparent in the working of Satan, who uses all power, signs, lying, wonders, and every kind of wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion, leading them to believe what is false, so that all who have not believed the truth, but took pleasure in unrighteousness, will be condemned. Under what circumstances, I ask you, might the Bible tell us about a shadowy, lawless one? From now on, let's just call him the outlaw, a more familiar English language way of characterizing someone who flouts courts and conventions. Under what circumstances might the Bible foretell to us a struggle between this end times outlaw, who claims to be God, and the restrainer, someone who battles the outlaw to a draw, keeps them at bay for the time being, and then the epistle expects us not to be shaken in mind or alarmed? The entire scenario warrants ample mind-shaking and alarm, as far as I'm concerned. I have children and grandchildren who might be subjected to the outlaw's deceptive wickedness. The katekon, the restrainer, might not be restraining the outlaw enough around the world to prevent atrocities and catastrophes, climate change and genocide. If you're shaken in mind and alarmed, believe me, I understand. St. Paul, or whomever it is, wants us to keep calm and carry on, to love the truth, take no pleasure in unrighteousness. Fair enough. And I have no doubt that in the end, my Redeemer liveth and in my flesh I will see him. Jesus will recognize what's going on, will destroy the outlaw with the breath of his mouth, and bring us peace at last. He will, in the words of the transport police, see it, say it, sorted. In the meantime, though, we ought to feel concern for those who have fallen for the outlaw's power, signs, lying wonders, and those who believe the outlaw's lies, who stand at risk of being condemned for their misplaced trust. God has allowed a powerful delusion to come over some of our neighbors, perhaps our friends or family, perhaps even some of us. Surely we should care that we hear again the truthful word of Christ's saving grace to free us from the power of the outlaw and turn again to our Savior. And that, I think, should guide our understanding of tonight's mysterious outlaw, the elusive katekon restrainer, the peculiar letter as if from us. All this vague, indirect language that surrounds the apocalyptic atmosphere, these obscure terms are not just placeholders for certain specific individuals whose names we could write into our Bibles. Rather, we will always be able to find outlaws working lying wonders and every kind of wicked deception. And we will always find people trying to restrain them, holding back lawlessness as best they can. These figures don't belong only to the past time of 2 Thessalonians, nor to a distant future we can see only as if in a glass darkly. The obscurity is the point. We don't name them and spell them out, because that risks generating the illusion of a single final boss whom we can maybe stamp out once and for all. But we, you and I, can only just restrain. We aren't tough enough, not pure enough, not true or wise enough to defeat the outlaw, all those outlaws, out of our own strength. In the world's long cosmic drama of lies against truth, of corruption against integrity, of death against life, we can only just restrain the outlaw. And although that may seem like weak tea, remember that the clue to the restrainer's job is in the name. God calls us to resist evil, to restrain the outlaws who exalt themselves above every god or ideal, and that's plenty. So stand firm and hold fast to the gospel. Katekontes stikete, restrainers, stand fast. Our job is to stand fast, to hold on, and to restrain the outlaws in all the small ways we can. Precisely because we have faith, we trust that the Lord Jesus will take on the job of defeating lawlessness once and for all. We don't have to solve all the world's problems, but we do have to make wickedness more difficult. We have to restrain evil by our refusal to play the lawless game. Stand fast in patient integrity, peaceableness, honesty, by our joy that in a world where the outlaws sometimes thrive, sometimes they're stymied, where sometimes the outlaws ascend, sometimes they're wrong-footed and cast down. And do not be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, even when it looks like the outlaws are on top, for we know that they cannot stand firm, they cannot prevail, because Jesus Christ is the Lord. And may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort our hearts and strengthen us in every good restraining work and word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.